Has this podcast helped you in your recovery or healing journey as you pursue wholeness in Christ? Have you gained insights into yourself or developed better skills for building healthy relationships? If so, would you consider partnering financially through a generous year-end gift? Your financial support allows this program to be broadcast to thousands of individuals in over 100 countries every single week. By God's grace, the good news of hope and healing is spreading across the globe. And this year, we have a generous matching gift of $71,500. This means that for every dollar you give, it will be doubled up to $71,500. This matching gift offer is only good through December 31st, so act now to double your impact. To make your year-end contribution or become a monthly partner, visit bebroken.org/give. That's bebroken.org/give or call 210-822-8201. Thank you for your partnership. We truly are better together.
As a mom, you just don't want your 13, 14, 15-year-old to be exposed to sex or doing that. And so it's like you have to work through all these barriers and just put in front of you, do it anyways. Do it anyways. Do it anyways. Get your poker face. Do it anyway.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In today's episode, I'm going to sit down with a returning guest, Ashley Jamison, who's a sex educator and the author of a new book called Girl Talk. So we dive into why it's so important for moms to have honest, ongoing conversations with their daughters about sex, even when it feels awkward or scary. Ashley shares personal stories, some up-to-date research, and very practical tips for starting these talks early, addressing some common fears, and becoming a safe, trusted source for your kids, especially as they face all the pressures from peers, social media, and even early exposure to pornography. So if you're a mom of a daughter, you do not want to miss this conversation. For more info on Ashley and the book, go to puredesire.org. And if you click on the store page, just search for Girl Talk and the book will pop up. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or check out the many links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And friends, of course, I want to invite you to please rate and review the podcast after listening, because believe it or not, it really does help other people to find this content. Now let's dive into today's hopeful and practical conversation for moms and daughters. All right, friends, we have back with us Ashley Jamison. So Ashley, welcome back to the program.
I am always glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we've had you on a couple times to talk about, you know, some really important topics. It's interesting because one thing about you, Ashley, is that I love about having you on this program is you're fearless when it comes to just going into areas that some people don't want to talk about. We've had you on to talk about the issue of race as it deals with sexual brokenness and how those things intertwine, how the church can, try to address that in a better way. But we wanted to have you back because you have written a book that is called Girl Talk, and it is a guide to help moms and daughters have honest conversations about sex. And so I'm really excited about that because I don't think there can be enough resources in that space for helping parents navigate these kinds of conversations with their kids. Mm-hmm. But first, why don't you just tell us about, you know, what inspired you to write this and why do you think now is the right time for this kind of resource to be available?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's past time because let's see, I'm 40 and I could have used this when I was 14 for sure. And there was nothing. So we are like way past due. But what prompted me to write it was actually John 4 on your staff. He's your training director of training, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. We have a connection, we're friends and have partnered and talked about other things. And he came up to me and said, "Hey, we have a book, Father, Son Accountability, and the moms are asking where their book is." And I was thinking you could write something. And I said, "Sure." I said, "Sure." Just like when I was asked to do the talk on racism, sure, I tend to jump and then go, "Ah, can I do this?" But I realized it had already been on my heart to do something like this, because when he had asked me to do that, I think my daughter was 12 or 13 when I started riding it. She's 15 now. Maybe it wasn't that long ago, but, and she's my first girl. And so it was very timely on all fronts. I think God just used John to nudge him and say, go get her to write this book. I need deadlines. So it was helpful for me. But on the other side, I've spoken at a conference. It's with the Christian Missionary Alliance, a few times, and there's probably 6,000 kids that go to that conference. In my sessions combined, there's maybe 600 to 700 kids. And in both sessions, I ask them to raise their hand if their parents talk to them about sex or have ever talked to them. And I kid you not, between all 600-700 kids, maybe 20 kids would raise their hand. Mm. And then of course I ask, how many of you hear about it from friends, school, social media? And every hand in the room goes up. So it's like, okay, I've got the practical question here right in the room showing you that these kids are not hearing about it. And then Pure Desire, where I work, we recently partnered with Barna on a report and called Beyond the Porn Phenomenon. And one of the questions, one of the results that came back was about pastors. And about 89% of youth pastors say that they wish it was the parent that taught the kids about sex, but it's, from what they can tell, it's friends. And so all these things combined, I'm like, okay, put me in, let me do this.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and now it's interesting because you even share early on in the book that even as a sex educator, which you do this, I mean, this is your job. You're talking about this topic all the time, that even still talking to your kids about sex, it still makes you sweat. So like, why is it so hard for moms, like even as informed ones, to really talk to their daughters about sexuality?
It is.
And I think it's important for you to be able to say, because I think some people would look at you, maybe there's some moms out there that would look at you and go, you've been doing this for 10 years. And they go, there's no way I could ever do this. So can you talk about having empathy for the struggle?
Absolutely. And that's why I put that right up front. This is my note to mom. Like, we can do this. You can do it. It is so important to do it, even though you feel uncomfortable. Because, I mean, for me, one, I have lingering trauma and shame around my own thoughts and feelings around sexuality from my church upbringing, from the lack of communication in my home. And as much as I've worked through those little things are still there. That wasn't modeled for me to just naturally talk about sex. So you have to bust through your own things. Let's say you're still struggling with something, love, sex, relationships, porn, or in the past you did, past abortion. I mean, sexual experimentation that you never work through, then you're filtering it through stuff that you haven't processed. And so you're not going to want to get very close to the conversation when it's touching on your own things. And then as a mom, you just don't want your 13, 14, 15 year old to be exposed to sex or doing that. And so it's like, you have to work through all these barriers and just put in front of you, do it anyways, do it anyways, do it anyways, get your poker face, do it anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember. I always forget the name of the lady who kind of made this this phrase famous. But anyway, the idea of do it afraid.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're afraid, just do it. And but you know, talk a little bit too about that idea of what you just mentioned there briefly, where it's almost as if there's maybe a fear also of, man, if I do talk about this, am I like introducing things to my kids? Am I actually going to make it worse? Because that's one of the fears that moms have or any parents have, right? Is they think, if I even talk about the topic, am I actually introducing thoughts into their minds that's going to make it like damaging or hurtful or dangerous for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I have like research experience and practical lived experience. One of my chapters starts with a quote. It's about sexual curiosity. Curiosity killed the cat. And there's a proverb that explains that this phrase, curiosity killed the cat, means that there's dangers when it comes to having curiosities about things that we want to know, and it leads to exploration. And so as a kid, if you can, you know, even think about yourself as a kid, when you're curious about something, it can kind of take this obsessive hold on you until you figure it out. And so my encouragement to parents is, you're not at this point in our society, you're not going to expose them to something that they are not going to eventually be exposed to. And you get to set the pace of being the expert. So it's actually a benefit if you are the first one to expose them to it, because that's then their source of truth when it comes to this topic, their source of safety when it comes to asking about something. And yeah, you might pique some curiosity, but you could say, do you have any other questions? That is always going to be better than them, you know, a year later, 2 months later, hearing it on the bus and then having all these thoughts. Whereas if they hear it on the bus 2 months later, or even in a homeschool co-op, that they go, oh yeah, my mom talked to me about this. My mom explained that to me. And that actually gives them some confidence and security. And it actually makes them look pretty cool in front of their friends when they say, my mom's already talked to me about this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I mean, we, in our ministry, we've dealt with thousands of men, especially who have developed an addiction to pornography and things like that. And so many times these guys' story is, why did my dad or my mom never talk to me about this when they knew this was so dangerous or that it could have this kind of effect on my life? There's a sense of betrayal that a person can feel way later in their life where they go, my goodness, my parents, who should have been the ones that were the most protective of me, were the most, you know, going to try to prepare me for life. Why didn't they talk to me about this? Right. So they're, you're preventing that betrayal feeling that could happen later in your child by introducing them early. Right.
Absolutely. I even had that experience of when I started processing my own things of grieving that I felt, I'm quoting, thrown to the wolves by my parents. I'm like, why was I not protected? And I know as a parent, you make a lot of mistakes and you only can do what you know to do. But I had to go through my own process of feeling just so vulnerable as a kid and not protected because I wasn't talked to about these things.
Yeah. So you include lots of stories from your daughter, your niece, and some other girls that you interviewed. So what surprised you the most about what they shared? And what do you think moms need to hear from today's teen girls?
Yeah. So what surprised me the most is my daughter. Well, my daughter is public school, smaller school. But with me, I'm like, come on. I'm like talking about this stuff all the time, right? As much as you think you can talk about it. And then my niece is homeschooled, very, very protected from outside exposure of things, movies. And she lives in Ethiopia, no cell phone. I mean, like, if you're like, well, I'm a homeschool kid and I don't let my kids have device, that is my niece. And then the other friends, one of them had a cell phone. They're all from families where the kids go to church. And so what I found was all their answers were exactly the same. My niece from Ethiopia, my daughter in my own home, the things that they're exposed to, the temptations they have, the struggles they had, and even the mistakes that they've made and wanted to correct were the same across the board.
So it's almost like, I mean, of course, from our Christian worldview, we go, yeah, it's called the human condition, right? So
nothing new under the sun.
in many ways, like it doesn't... While environmental factors can play, you know, a part,
absolutely.
What you're saying is the core of what these girls are curious about, struggling with, have questions about is pretty universal, right?
Yeah. And at conferences, I'll tell parents, I mean, look at Adam and Eve's parents, look at their homeschool environment, look at their, you know, they had everything set up and there was still this nature in them to think that there was better, more, explore, go against God's, you know, command for them. And so what's to make us think that it's any different for us? And so my advice is, I mean, when you look at the biblical characters, is do your best to get ahead of it and be open so that when they are exposed, when they struggle, they know who to come to help walk them through it. It's not a mindset of trying to prevent them from ever being exposed.
Yeah. So I want to actually circle back to, we talked about it a little bit in terms of maybe a parent's fear that my kids are too young for these conversations or whatever, but I want to unpack that a little bit more in terms of why that belief is actually risky. And then let's get specific, Ashley, like, you know, a lot of parents are thinking, okay, when, like what age, like what age and what do I need to start talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, the data is out that kids are being exposed to pornography younger and younger and younger, 9, 10, but it's not just that. It's not just pornography. Girls are looking at other girls and they're comparing themselves. They're seeing things on social media. They're seeing she's wearing the newest clothes. And so it's what I want this book to be is just all things, identity issue that we don't have to try to fit in. We don't have to try to bend our moral convictions to be liked by anybody, to understand our thoughts and feelings at a young age. Because I know as you see that as we get older, it's those distorted truths of God that get wrapped up in some shame or maybe a lie from somebody else that lead us to these other patterns. And so getting a handle on that sooner, the better. It, teaching them how to navigate uncomfortable feelings or feeling insecure. Pornography is one of the biggest things that they can be exposed to, but that's just one of many things that kids are going to struggle with at a young age.
But let's talk about that specifically for a minute, because there might've been some moms that have come into, you know, they saw this podcast coming out and they saw the title and they saw some of the subject matter and they might go, but we're talking about my daughter. She's not going to, that's a guy thing. Like pornography is a boy. Can you talk about just even what some of the research and the data shows in terms of girls and their involvement in pornography or they're getting hooked on porn?
Well, girls are one of the fastest growing demographic for pornography users. And really these pornography companies are targeting girls and they're going after it. They see a growth there. They see some growth potential because we're like, I think now even for adults, the women are at 40%, and that's Christians. That's Christian women, 40% are using pornography. It's hard to survey teens because they can get in trouble, you know, with laws and stuff. And so we were able to survey 18 and older. But just from the conferences that we're at, they are struggling. They are looking at pornography because it can be sexually arousing for a girl too. But when they're looking at that and they don't have anybody to talk about it with, which that's another stat, 84% of adults feel like they have nobody to talk to. So let's be the parent, talk to them young. When they don't feel like they have anybody to talk to, they start getting confused. Like, am I same sex attracted? Because why is this pornography attractive to me? So they're thinking that they're same sex attracted. They're thinking this is what they have to do in order to have a relationship. The violence in porn is on such a rise that it's normalizing things like choking and hair pulling and things like that, along with just the sexual behaviors. And so it's really taking a toll on our young women, whether they're using it, looking at it, comparing themselves, this is what I should look like, or this is how I should behave and what I should put up with, because this is what's becoming normalized. And it's at a young age.
Well, you know, this ties in with what you mentioned earlier about the fact that there's just universal to any child around planet Earth, there's an inherent curiosity around these subjects. There's a curiosity about body image. There's a curiosity about sexual feelings. There's a curiosity about, you know, relationships. And what that research indicates to me is that so many parents and caregivers are just abdicating that role to pornography to be the one to try to provide answers to that curiosity. And now we're not here to shame parents. No. We're not here to increase guilt feelings that parents have. So before we go any further and kind of what you've got in the book, can we just kind of help any of the parents that are, any of the moms especially that are listening that might be hyperventilating at this point? Can you be going, because this feels like an enormous issue. I mean, you're you know, waist deep in this every day, all the time for the last 10 years in these conversations. For some of our listeners, this might be the first time they're hearing about the scope of the issue that they are needing to deal with their daughters. Can you just give a little bit of a sense of like, help them find a little bit of stability and safety and that this is doable?
Yeah. So my twins, they'll be 22 tomorrow. And when I started down this path, they were just about 10 years old. And so I was the person you're talking to right now, like, oh my gosh, I've screwed them up. And so I would just say, just like, make it simple. It is so simple. It's not a drastic culture shift. And that's what this book even says. It's just starting to be real in conversation. And so as the mom, if your daughter is young, start now, get the book, go through it. If your daughter is older and you feel like you missed the boat, maybe send her this podcast and say, does any of this resonate with you? I am feeling like guilt for missing the boat on this. I am feeling, you know, just maybe just say that. I've said that to my adult sons many times, that I'm sorry that I had you at 18 years old and I didn't know what I know now. And they have been like, Mom, it's okay. You know, but I have just expressed that, and that can take some of the guilt away. But also if you're a mom and you have a child where you feel like you've maybe missed some of that already, I would say, hey, I listened to this podcast, I got this book, and it stirred these thoughts in me that when I was your age, when I was 9 years old, I had this experience with a friend. And when I was 12 years old, I saw this at school. And when I was 17 years old, I made a really big mistake and ended up sleeping with somebody and felt like I was disqualified from God's. So whatever age your kid is, like I say, share with them what you were going through at their age and then say, is that going on in your school? Is that going on with your friends? I just want you to know that if that is ever around you, whether it's with you or a friend, I've been through that. I understand it. And you can talk to me about that. And so just kind of like think back to when you were their age and then times it by 100. Cause right, like yeah, I was exactly. looking at encyclopedias when I was younger, like looking up all the body parts in an encyclopedia. And I've had to tell my son, had I had iPads, cell phones, internet, when I was your age, I would be doing the exact same thing you're doing when I've had to talk with him about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so you're not bad. You just have different forms, more accessibility than I did when I was younger.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that dovetails a little bit into my next question, because you do talk in the book a lot about creating safety. And that's emotional safety, spiritual safety, relational safety. So what does it practically look like for mm-hmm. a mom to become the safe place for her daughter?
Don't freak out. So practice keeping cool. If you freak out, if your first response is whether they come to tell you something, it could be about their best friend at school. It could be about a girl they don't like at school, because they might be testing the waters to see how you're going to respond to something like that. And so no matter what it is, keep your cool when responding. And even practice that. I would literally practice that in the mirror. Practice saying all the words in the mirror, calling body parts what they are. But when my kids come to me, I just answer the question, not what are you thinking? Why would you even be thinking about that? One time my daughter, she was 12 at the time, she's like, what is oral sex? And I'm like, I am going to die. I want the ground to swallow me up right here in this living room. And as soon as I told her what it was, she was like, that is gross. And then we just went back to watching the TV. So, I mean, and that's how she's been. But what if I didn't? What if I responded in a really shame, like, why are you even thinking that way? Why? Then she's going to associate fear or punishment with her curiosity and her questions. And so my response of, you know, I'm glad you feel comfortable to ask me anything. I am always want to be the person you can come to. Then she's associating my curiosity, my questions, my struggle with mom's safe answer, celebrating yeah. that I'm coming to her.
And even some of those situations too, you can probably explore that a little bit. Like, you know, I'm curious, where did you hear about mm-hmm. that? Like, yep. where did you hear that term or whatever? It makes me think of a story I heard one time of a mom and dad who had their 4 or 5 year old daughter with them at like a baseball game or whatever, maybe even younger, maybe 3 years old, something like that. And there was a pregnant woman came and sat down next to them, and the daughter turns to their parents and is like, why is that mommy's, or why is that person's belly so big? And of course, the first thought that the parents had was, oh my goodness, are we going to have the sex yeah, talk this
right?
week? And then they realized, consider who is asking and what age, and like, you yeah. can simply answer that question in a very simple way yep. that is acceptable to a 4-year-old
right.
that doesn't have to get into the sex talk, right? So there's right. certain ways in which exploring the question and where it's coming from might also help you understand how to answer, right?
Yeah. And I can't remember if I put this in the book or not, where I'll kind of say, you know, let them drive the questions. And one of our taglines, I co-host a podcast with my friend for adult questions on love, sex, and relationships. And one of our taglines is, if you can think about it, we should be talking about it. If those little thoughts are rolling around in your kid's head, then them coming out is a good thing. It means that their brain has come to that point, whether on their own of asking that question, or somebody piqued their curiosity, or something piqued their curiosity, and it's stirring around in their head, and you're the safe place it gets to land. And so let them keep asking their questions. And if they're content with, because she has a baby in her belly, great. Hallelujah. Yeah. My kids were like, well, why? Well, how did the baby get in the belly? Well, it didn't just walk in there. How did it come from the dad to the mom? And I'm like, oh my gosh, when is it going to stop? Inside, on the outside, I'm answering the questions.
Right. Well, Ashley, that's just confirmation that those are definitely your kids, because that's yeah. very much you, right? Curious and yes, wanting to know
so where curious. Things happen.
So one thing I love about how you structured the book is you actually outline this 8-week journey.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes that particular structure effective, and like, how can moms who feel overwhelmed take the first step?
Yeah. So I know that there's lots of different research on creating new patterns. And last I heard from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, it was like 60 something days to create new habits. And so I love that it's going to take you, about that long. It lines up with the father-son accountability book that you guys carry. And so we've got both of those. Youth leaders could use this in a youth group or with neighbor girls. I've done that with my resources. But 8 weeks, it's not overwhelming, but it's enough to create new patterns. Because what I'm trying to do is exactly what the book says. I want to help them have honest conversations. I want to help them create a culture that it's not one sex talk. It's not like, oh, go through this book when your child hits 15 and then you're done. I want this book to be, let me teach you and your daughter how to have conversations and then carry that on and let that be all your life. And when she's 25 and struggling with a marriage issue, that she comes to you. And when she's 18 and it got exposed to something on prom night or whatever, that you've created this safe place for her. And so that's why I did the 8 weeks. And then at the end, it will say, keep it going. And it gives little tips on how to keep just a weekly touch base or however often, they might need it.
Can you give an example of what this would actually look like in terms of a mom and her daughter going through, let's say, one of the weekly sessions or one of the weeks?
Yeah. So they're all about it. It's meant to be done, all of it, in less than 20 minutes. So I would say, depending on the chapter, it could be, or the week, it could be 10 minutes of reading and 5 minutes of questions. I just want it to be really simple. I always encourage mom to go first with her sharing. And so ideally, I would love mom and daughter to have a book, because I want the daughter to underline things. I have 4 kids and they're all different. I'm like, they're like cats, some want to be pet, some want you to leave the food and not look them in the eye. And like, you have to approach your kids differently. And I found that some of my kids really like to write their responses. It's harder for them to start off by saying it. So don't beat yourself up as a parent if you're trying to sit down and be this godly, woman teaching her about sex and they don't want to talk. That is not how it started with my daughter at all. She would squeal and scream every time I talked to her. And now she openly talks to me about everything that's going on. And so if they want to write their answers to you and give you their book to let you read it, instead of saying, let them start there, start where they're comfortable. If you can't afford 2 books, or you don't want to buy 2 books, or you've got multiple daughters, it's okay to use 1. If you feel like, okay, you're starting with a 12 or 13 year old and you'd rather read the content and then just take out nuggets each week and you talk to your daughter about the nuggets you want to share and relate your own stories, that's okay. If your daughter doesn't want to sit there and listen to you, that's just a struggle. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just you read it ahead of time and say, hey, here are the highlights from this chapter. Here are the questions. Here's the tools. Let's go over this. And so in all that, I'm saying, use it according to however will work for you. Just do something each week and have that rhythm and create that pattern. So a mom would read it. Daughter and mom can take turns reading it. And then at the end, there's real talk questions, about 6 to 8 questions at the end of each chapter. And if there's a tool in there, it might ask them their answers of whatever tool I taught them in there, or it could just be self-awareness. In the beginning, it's definitely share your fears of going through this book, mom and daughter, because there's probably fears on both sides. It's just really practical tools like that and questions.
That's really good. And as we get closer to kind of wrapping up our time here, one of the things that you say is that we want to be proactive, not reactive. And so how can that idea help shift maybe a mom from more of a fear-based response to more of a grace-filled, truth-telling presence in their daughter's lives? Because I do think it's natural for a mom. I mean, good grief, a mom has just a unique heart for her kids, right? And thinking about this mom-daughter connection, it's natural to have fears and anxieties about all that could go wrong in your kids' lives, right? And how do I protect them from all of that? But your mentality around these conversations around sex is you've got to be proactive and not just wait for all the reactive, fearful things that could happen. Why is that so important? And how can a mom maybe start to shift her mindset with her daughter in that way?
Gosh, if I can't say, take it from some of us who have, you, Jonathan and me who are in the field, we see it day in and day out. Just keep going. From my own experience, my sons now, you know, the 22-year-olds, they're in committed relationships and trying to figure out adulthood. They talk to me openly about what they're thinking, what they're going through with their relationships. My daughter, my younger son, they would not have ever got to the point where they're like, I want to talk to my mom. I'm comfortable talking to my mom about this. It had to be me pursuing them. And I feel like it's just like breadcrumbs. Like, let me put this video series out here. Let me ask about what happened at school. Let me share my personal experience from when I was a child, see what lands. And definitely anytime you see something like, I have the Bark monitoring app on my kid's phone, or you know that they're struggling, you lean into that conversation with so much grace. And I'm tasked to be your parent. It is my job to protect your brain, to make sure that you are set up as best you can to go into your adulthood. And so I'm going to help you by putting these boundaries in place, these parameters, but I just want you to know it's okay. Like, you are loved and this doesn't change how I view you. And so keep pursuing them. Like I said, my daughter would scream when we used to talk about anything having to do with sex, and now she tells me everything. And the other day I picked her up from school. She's in 10th grade now, and she was in a really bad mood. And I knew it had something to do with a boy at school. And I was like, spill the tea. And she's like, Mom, I tell you everything. Some things I just don't want to tell you. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get the information. And so I'm like, Mexican food, salt and chips. And I'm like, okay, how about this? Just give me like a big picture. You don't have to give me all the details, just a big picture. And as soon as that seal broke, she just went on and on and on. And so,
yeah.
But she saw that I cared. And I wasn't like pushy, like, you're going to be in trouble if you don't talk to me. But keep things light, keep things playful, remind them how much you love them, and remind them that the things you're doing for them are not out of punishment. It's to help them be the best version of themselves while their brain is still developing. You're trying to help them.
And something that you're pointing out here that's so vital that I think needs to be emphasized is that when it comes to the issue of sex and pornography and all that can be broken around that aspect of our humanity, too many parents get locked into this mindset of what are the tools that I need to sort of digitally lock things down. And what you're indicating is, hey, all those things may be helpful and important. But at the center, and all the research that we've done in our ministry, all the research that we've seen that has been done, nothing comes even close to how vitally important the relational connection between parent and child is. So I just want to really emphasize that. And that's, I think, what your book brings out is, hey, it's not about tricks and tips. And it's like, how do you build that relational connection around these sometimes often awkward and difficult conversations around this topic? So as we wrap up here, Ashley, for one thing, this the timing of the release of this podcast is perfect because it's right before the holidays. And I would highly recommend that moms consider this as kind of maybe a personal and private gift that they could give to their daughter for Christmas and be like, hey, let's go into the new year with kind of launching this 8 weeks. So where can our listeners and viewers go to get more information about the book and actually purchase it?
Okay, so puredesire.org. That's the ministry I work for. Go to puredesire.org on the store page and they'll find the book. I also want to offer that I want to help moms who are trying to do this with their daughter. And so AshleyJ@puredesire.org is my email address. And if you start this book and like, I'm frozen on chapter 3, I literally cannot move, email me and I will just shoot you like an encouragement or like, hey, try it this way or word it this way. Because the point is we're doing something and we're creating the conversation. We do not have to do it perfectly. You do not have to use every single tool that comes across your lap. Just get in the habit of talking openly with your daughter.
That is so good. Well, Ashley, as always, it's a joy to have you on the program. And thank you for sharing not only your wisdom with us today, but thank you for sharing this book. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I am just so happy. And I'm thankful that I was prompted to write this and that it's out there. And so, you know, if it can help a few more moms, then I'm all for it. And I'm here to help too.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to post all that information that Ashley just gave in the show notes so that you can go get a copy of this book and start really building these strong conversations and new patterns with your daughter as you continue to try to help her grow in her understanding of sexuality and identity. And of course, we're here to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care. Hi, friends. Today's episode is sponsored by Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is the industry leader in online accountability software. I've used Covenant Eyes personally for well over a decade, and we also use their service in our ministry. Through our partnership with Covenant Eyes, you can try out their services for free for 30 days when you enroll at CovenantEyes.com and use our promo code, BEBROKEN. That's CovenantEyes.com and promo code, BEBROKEN. The link is also in today's show notes. So sign up today for Covenant Eyes and discover the freedom that comes with online accountability.